Hey everyone, it's Catfish here. I promise you this is the last one of these pre-episode messages. And yeah, so Joe Fitz and I sat down last week, recorded this. So it is a week old, basically because of, you know, the timing of when this is released, some of the stuff isn't as relevant anymore. So I've kind of just curated, I guess you could say, the relevant bits and put it in here. I think the discussion we had about, you know, how to navigate round 0/round 1 team list, the two parts of the team list, is still very relevant. So hopefully you can have a listen to that, and the other player-related chat that we've got in there is still helpful for you guys. Obviously, we are recording again, and I promise we'll be back on track to get back on schedule with the season kickoff so close. I'm hyped, even if I am a bit crook, but Supercoach baby, it's back. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. We're inching ever closer to kickoff, 1 week of preseason down. The teams are in for week 2 and thousands of us reading the tea leaves on what it all means for Supercoach. Here to help sort out our Earl Greys from our Darjeelings and our chamomiles from our peppermint. I think they've all been named for South this week. It's Wilf.
Hey Joe, I'll be upfront. I'm not much of a tea leaf kind of guy. I'm not a tea drinker. I'm very firmly in the coffee side of things, but I'll do my best to try sort out this Bunnies team list for sure.
I swing both ways with tea and coffee, mate, but I tell you what, I recognised Braden Burns, and that's about it from the whole 34 players named in the South's Roosters game this week.
I think that's a bit unfair. I mean, surely you recognise some of the names like Yaleen Gordon. Is that blast from the past there?
Oh yeah, I forgot about him.
So did most of the NRL.
Yeah.
And Alex Young, who's actually Dom Young's little brother.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. All right, but enough of the spoilers for our team list chat later for the second week of trials. We've got plenty more to chat about. Obviously, we want to talk about the wash-up from the trials from week 1. And also, once we dive into all the drama, I mean, we don't like to throw around the term too much, but carnage, literally, it feels like there's carnage already and we're here in the preseason.
It's gonna be a tricky start, mate. You know, we've got injuries, we've got suspensions, we've got this split round to kick off. It's, you know, Supercoach likes to throw up some curveballs for us so we don't get too complacent.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, that's for sure. In terms of other, I guess, key information, Josh Schuster, who's been now ruled out of round 1, potentially longer, not sure, with his calf issue. You know, he's battled the calf strains for, feels like, you know, every year he's copped at least one, if not more. So that's a big question mark there. Obviously, Ben Trbojevic, the winner with that one. And look, there's some hype about Burbo. Some people are tipping him for his true breakout season.
It might legitimately be the 4th year in a row I've started with him. Like, I mean, what a glutton for punishment I am if I start with him. But again, you know, we'll talk a little bit later about the impact of the split rounds, Manly obviously playing in the round 0, so to speak, and how that'll impact our, you know, first 25. But, yeah, it's shaping up at 277 that, you know, maybe is too good to be true. But, again, you can play my clips from the last 4 years and I'm probably saying the same.
Yeah, that's very fair. But look, as we've said, round 1, if he's named to start, it's going to be hard to knock back a back row playing most likely 80 minutes, provided no injuries or concussions mid-game. But yeah, most likely playing 80 minutes and, you know, available in center wing. The only other, I guess, Supercoach relevant injury that from the first round of All-Stars games and trials, Latrell Mitchell did look like he was getting quite a bit of attention on one of his knees. Which is never a good sign. Obviously, we want Latrell to be fit and firing. But yeah, something to monitor. Obviously, not going to keep him out of games. But as we saw last year, when he dealt with like a PCL injury, he had 3-4 weeks of lowered output. Still played every week, but, you know, giving you 60s instead of the 90s that you were hoping for over that period. So just something to monitor.
What about the Tigers, mate? It seems a bit of same.
Yeah, the interesting part, I guess, is we've got Lachlan Galvin in the number 14 jersey. So he's, you know, he was in the mix for the 5'8 spot, and he's big. He can play, he could probably play, you know, some edge or lock, you know, a more genuine all round utility role rather than the backup hooker. So to me, that says Appy is either, you know, if Simpkins not there or Talon De Silva is not in the top 17, there is a chance Appy could be looking at 80 minutes. Plus, right now, he's goal kicking ahead of Caesar. So that is interesting. The killer is obviously not available round one at all because the targets of the bye. And it's super risky to jump on Appy, I feel, without knowing what the round two team list is going to look like. So that's the killer there. But I can certainly see some people taking that risk and starting with Appy, you know, pretending he's suspended or something for that first week.
I mean, yeah, 572, if he's indicated that he's getting the goal kicking, I mean, post-Origin, his post-Origin run from round 20 onwards was, you know, really, really impressive. So, you know, I think only one score under 60 and turned up with 120 as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, his lower scores were earlier in the year with 10s and 22s and 24s and stuff. So he's definitely underpriced.
Yeah, the difficulty with that is a bunch of his games at the back end, he was actually playing halfback as well.
Oh, so yeah, that's right. God, so long ago.
Yeah, that's it, right? So it's a little bit up in the air and you know, he's obviously very reliant on attacking stats. I think if you looked at his actual raw numbers, his base was sitting around the, you know, the low 40s, if not sometimes in the 30s. So that's the downside there. If he's not getting 80 minutes, that's obviously a little bit more concerning. And I think therein lies the risk. If you just don't know what the 17 is going to look like, he might have a bench hooker come round two and you're stuck with that. But, you know, I was thinking of the people who took the risk and started with Munster on the bench for round one last year, and that paid off big time. So, yeah, certainly is a viable strategy. It is with not, it isn't without risk, obviously, but, yeah, an interesting thing to consider. So, as we alluded to, Jaden Campbell not making it back yet. We've got Keno Kinney named in the number one. I've heard some chat about people looking at him as just, you know, backup fullback, right? Starting with like a Ponga or someone as your fullback one and not gunning up and going with Kinney, who's relatively cheap, but he's fullback only. We don't know how many games he's going to get. Obviously, they have the round two bye. Jaden Campbell could be back round three. It just seems fraught with danger.
Yeah, it does. And again, I mean, I'm generally wary with all new coaches at clubs because they never seem to be settled on their best 17. You know, in round one, there's always a bit of, you know, settling that needs to happen in the early weeks. But I think particularly so with Des Hasler, he's a guy that, you know, when he settles on a team, he tends to ride them until they drop and doesn't kind of rotate a lot. So, I'm not sure that Kinney's necessarily his type of player, but we'll see how that goes. But for the vast majority, probably outside of Bo Ferma as one of the more obvious, you know, picks to start the year, there's not a lot there for me.
Yeah, fair enough. And the other interesting point, obviously, with Dave Fifita missing, it was meant to be a shootout between Cleese Haas and Jacob Alick for the vacated edge spot. I don't know which edge it is, whether it's going to be a left edge or right edge with Bo Ferma, you know, capable of playing both sides, and Fifita obviously playing both sides as well. So that's a big question mark there. But it feels like it might just be a timeshare, right, between the two of them. They're both named in the 17, well, in the 11 and 17 respectively.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? But I don't think either of them are going to be, you know, relevant for long before Fifita comes back anyway. So, you know, they're not going to rise in price until they've played three games. And even if they get that far in, you know, they're very soon going to be must trade outs, given that they're just going to be riding the pine as kind of bench edge players, which is, you know, super coach death. More interested over in the Para side, mate. Obviously, Tuolungi named ahead of Ryan Madison. That's not on talent, so, you know, who knows how, you know, long that's going to last for. Sean Lane, an extremely popular pick, but it just seems that now that everyone's fit, it's back to the old guessing game with Brad Arthur with his back row rotations. I mean, is there too much of a risk in going with one of those guys, or do you just pick one and ride it home?
I just think Sean Lane's locked in. I'm not too worried about him. He seems to me to be like the safest of the mid-rangers, provided he's fit and healthy.
Yeah.
And all signs point to him being fit and healthy for round one. So, yeah, I've locked and loaded Sean Lane all preseason, pretty comfortable with that one there. But, yeah, it is a bit of a mess on the other side with the right edge. You know, obviously, Cardi Party with Tory Lange there sharing minutes. Matto, I mean, surely he comes back in, right? Like, you're not playing Wirimu Greg or Joe Ofe-Hengawi over Ryan Madison, are you?
No, surely not. But, I mean, that would suggest that Madison's locked into middle minutes only. And, I mean, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that he was the prototypical edge back rower, right? In skill set and in kind of body shape. So, I mean, he's always a threat at some stage of the year. You know, given recent years, he's likely to play some edge minutes. What that means for Tuolungi, what it means for Cardi and Sean Lane, and we even saw Hopgood start some games on the edge as well. It's just so hard with Brad Arthur, mate. There's often not a lot of rhyme or reason, and it's not even a hot hand basis. But I would probably say that for the foreseeable future, Lane's about the best bet there, and like you, he's locked into my team.
All right, so obviously, having gone through all of that, there is plenty that still seems very up in the air. So to finish off today, I really wanted to spend some time unpacking what it is going to look like for Supercoach. We hadn't really dived into it yet. I've been thinking about it for quite some time. So again, if we're not sure, you know, the so-called round zero is what we're talking about here, and then the team list for round one. So first game of the NRL season is going to be on Sunday, the 3rd of March. Kicking off at, I believe it's 12:30 in Australia, or maybe 1:30, depending on which part of Australia you're in. But that's going to be Seagulls and the Rabbitohs. And then 2 hours after that, it'll be the second game. That's the Roosters and the Broncos. This is all happening in Vegas, right? So the rest of the round is occurring on the 7th, 8th, or actually 7th to 10th of March. So a normal Thursday to Sunday round with obviously less games across the week. The problem with this is there's going to be two team lists announced. So the first team list Tuesday, I imagine, is going to be for just the Sunday games in Vegas. And then the second lot of team list Tuesday will be announced, I imagine, on what would be the 5th of March, the Tuesday, the 5th of March, for games kicking off on the 7th of March. So effectively, we're going to have four teams team lists to look at, but Supercoach starts on the 3rd of March. So that in itself is a headache because we won't know. Like, there's 12 teams that we're just not going to have any idea about when the first four teams have kicked off.
And if you've played before, you know how, you know, that team, first team list Tuesday panic when the guy that's been locked into your side all preseason all of a sudden is named in the 19 jersey or something like that, and the cascading effect, how it breaks your team. Well, you're going to have to cross your fingers, you know, from the risk-taking department. So what's that mean for you, Will, with the first four teams, you know, Manly, South, Broncos, Roosters, that play in Vegas? Does that mean you default towards prioritising them because there's more certainty, or does that actually mean you run away from them, you know, if given, you know, if you're choosing between two players because you want to have that certainty once the bigger team list Tuesday happens?
Yeah, it's such a good question, isn't it? I haven't decided. That's the first thing. I'll be upfront on that. But I'm leaning towards, and I guess as we get more information, the fact is, if there are any cheapies at all that are named from those first four teams, I feel like you need to lock them in. That is going to, you know, set up some of the spots in your squad where you can lock in that amount of cap that you know that these guys will probably be moneymakers for you. And yeah, that's probably the key thing that I would start off with there. Now, the question is what about the guns you're going to lock in? Now, I can see two ways of looking at this. You lock in too many guns from these four teams, and that means you have a limited amount of salary cap left to have to dance around with when the other 12 teams drop for their cheapies. And let's say the other 12 teams is disaster zone. There's not enough cheapies there. And you've locked in maybe five or six out of your squad of 25, and you have to try find, you know, X amount of dollars to, you get where I'm going with that, right? You're really hamstringing yourself with a reduced salary cap and a whole heap of not enough cheapies to be able to fill the rest of your team out.
Yeah, and if the chibis you're hoping to fill the last three or four spots on your bench aren't named in the second TLT, you are absolutely screwed. I think, look, you know, I don't want to put a tinfoil hat on, but it is, you know, PVL does run the comp, so here we go. But
this is your second PVR round ticket again.
I'll rip that ticket off and hand it in to you for my limited amount of PVL mentions on the year. But, you know, there is no doubt the referees have been given a brief that this is to be refereed like Origin. They want it to be free-flowing. They want a minimum of penalties. You know, it's going to be such a new audience, or at least they want to be attractive to a new audience that don't understand the nuance of the game. High scoring is more exciting, again, for the layperson who's not familiar with the comp. So for me, if they're cheapies, you lock them in, of course you do. But I'm erring on the side of going, if it's a 50-50 call between a Cody Walker and a Cam Munster, just hypothetically, you know, I might actually go with Cody because, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of points in what are, even though they're for real competition points, I think they'll be glorified exhibitions in terms of how they're reffed.
I think that's, you know, I love the tinfoil hat conspiracy there, but I can see it. The only thing is I do feel like because the field is apparently 1 meter shorter, right? On both sides, or at least one side.
1 meter less for Turbo to tear his hamstring when he scores his fourth.
Ouch. Please don't say anything like that. Turbo's currently in my team, so I do feel like, you know, does that mean there's less, you know, tries out wide? Maybe they're trying to go up the middle a bit more or whatever, because there's just not as much field to work with.
If it's refereed like an Origin, but it's a club game, it's, you know, the thing that makes it work at Origin level is that there's Origin level talents playing in the 17. Yep. When you play at club level, the lesser talents get fanned out with the speed of the game. And that's why I think there'll be a lot of points.
No, that's fair. And so it is almost like 2021's type of six again era, just exhaustion leading to lots of points being scored.
That's my prediction.
So Tommy Turbo, captain round one then?
Well, he's not in my team currently, but it's not to say he won't get there. But I just think, you know, we're talking about the nuances of what a round zero v round one means. And I just think that if you are tossing up, particularly in the premium category, that I would look at if you want to get a great start. And again, out of 150,000 super coaches, if you're going to be any chance at winning, you've got to get a great start. And I think that might be a pathway to do it.
So just hypothetically then, if we're running with that, Tom Trbojevic locked in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not in my side right now, but I don't think I think I've got to find a way to fit him in. Similarly, I mean, you've got your Ben Trbojevic's not premiums at Manly, but it's more the other sides that South Broncos and Roosters that I'd be interested in as well.
James Tedesco?
Absolutely not.
Had to fish it out there a little bit.
Mate, I've got more tread on my tyres than James Tedesco does.
Oh, wow.
At this point.
Latrell Mitchell.
Probably on the outside looking in, but that's because I think Ponga's underpriced and is going to do really well, and there's only the two fullback spots. But, I mean, again, Latrell could be a fantastic pod.
Reece Walsh.
Another great pod.
I think of the four gun fullbacks of the four teams playing in Vegas, I think Teddy's the distant fourth for me. Yeah, look, I've got Turbo tentatively penciled in at the moment with Ponga as well, but I could certainly see myself coming team list Tuesday part one, maybe pivoting to a Latrell or even Reece Walsh if I feel like I really want to be a Broncos homer.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of guns outside the fullbacks, mate, and probably led by that gun half at Manly, Luke Brooks.
Had me going for a moment there. I was like, Daily Cherry Evans is a great pod. look, if we're talking then, you know, between someone like a Sam Walker, Cody Walker, are they on the radar potentially?
I mean, I think Sam Walker with the goal kicking certainly is, and we'll have to see how that pans out between him and Suoli'i. Look, you know, does Ezra Mam take a leap? I mean, he was monumental in the final series last year. He's still a young player. He's only going to improve. And as Reynolds, you know, gets another year older, he's going to defer that a little bit more. So, you know, Mam, Cody Walker, speaking of older players, is you know, a little bit evergreen is still a premium. So there's plenty of options in the halves amongst those four teams.
Yeah. Speaking of Ezra Mam, his current roster percentage is amazingly high, I think, for someone.
Is it really? Oh, wow. See, I would have thought he would be an absolute super pod, but yeah, not if he's going to be highly owned. I think I'd steer away.
Currently, just under 20%.
Wow.
All 5/8s, of all super coach teams. Okay. So, and you, the first two options are Ethan Strange, KO Weeks, and Dylan Brown at 21.2%. Next is Ezra Mam at 19.9%.
All right, well, then probably a stay away. I was thinking he'd be 2 or 3%, but yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I think if he's that highly rostered, I also would be staying away on that one. But I guess the other way you could approach this, if, let's say, you know, you're not buying into that narrative and you're thinking, you know what, these guys are going to be wrecked because they have to fly to and from Vegas. They're going to have to suffer jet lag. They're going to be crap in round two, round three, whatever. You know, is it viable just to say, look, barring cheapies, I'm staying away from all of these guns. I'm only going to, you know, keep as much of my cap free as possible so that when Team List Tuesday Part 2 on the 5th of March rolls out, I've got, you know, 12 teams worth of players that I can expend my remaining cap on.
Well, yes, that's fair, but you're going to be picking from teams that have early buys in and amongst that as well. So obviously the Storm have an early buy and teams like that that might compromise that a little bit because there are some serious premium players in the Manly, South, Broncos, Roosters side. So that diminishes the pool of premium players you're selecting. If you don't want to go with Storm players because they've got the round four buy, well then, you know, geez, it's starting to get awfully light at the top end of your roster, right?
Absolutely. And I think for me, you know, like I said, I've currently got Trbojevic locked in. I've got Payne Haas in my team. You know, I've got Piakura, Willison. I do have a fair few Broncos, I'll admit that. But, you know, outside of that, you know, Ben Trbojevic, I don't really have any South players at the moment. So that is one thing I'm actually noticing and actually no Roosters players either. So I don't know if I'm making a mistake there. I might have to think about that a little bit more. But I think, you know, in terms of my cap space there, that's a decent chunk. I've got, you know, Turbo and Haas and those other guys. It feels like I might be hamstringing myself a little, that if those other cheapies don't show up in the other 12 teams, I'm going to find myself having to give up maybe a Nathan Cleary or a Nico Hines or a Dylan Brown. And I'm obviously really high on those guys as well.
Well, it probably locks you in to Burbo as a cheapie. It probably locks you into a Willison, you know, that if you want to kind of balance your average spend per roster slot, if you're going to go that. I mean, you almost have to think of them as a combo deal, I tend to think, because, again, I'm totally with you that if you only have premiums for round zero, you are really rolling the dice on every rookie price person, you know, player getting named that next week. And God, when was the last time that happened? Probably never. So
probably never. Yeah.
And I just think in general, you know, people got spoiled last year. And I said this in the last time I was on the pod with the 17th team, it just meant that there was an endless cascade of rookies because there were a whole other set, you know, a whole team's worth of spots to fill. It's going to be a bit of a rude awakening for people who want to play fast and loose with rookies this year or are banking on having a lot of playable rookies in the first part of the season. I think, yeah, that's something to factor in as well.
I'm almost wondering if it's like you need to have, let's say, a backup plan for, you know, let's talk about 5/8. I've currently got Dylan Brown and KO Weeks. So, you know, is the plan that you, you know, have that much cap spent there, and do you plan to say, well, what if KO Weeks doesn't show up? Who's my backup? Am I going Flano and, you know, Munster or whatever, or trying to find that balance? Like, is that maybe an option to kind of go through position by position, or is that too broken down? Like, you can't focus that much.
I think for once, Wilf, I'm going to back you in thinking that there's no way to break it down too much in this instance because there's so many variables and you're leaving a hell of a lot to chance. Otherwise, I probably think that's a really solid way to think about it. Probably with KO Weeks, if Weeks isn't in the side, Strange will be. So you've got a backup 5/8 there. So you've got a little bit of certainty from that perspective, but in a lot of other positions, I think it's definitely relevant.
And I kind of feel like maybe the more prudent way of approaching this might be, let's come up with a more realistic team where you don't have another one or two bottom price rookies in the center wing. You don't have, like, let's just say there's no Dylan Egan. You only have really Sam Hughes and against Willison, if he's obviously playing in round zero. You know, you don't have someone like a Kai Pierce-Paul. He's probably going to be on the bench in round one. Like, kind of just mapping out a team with all of those potential cheapies that you're relying on, having like a 350k guy there instead of or maybe like at least a 300k guy. And if those other guys show up, like if Iro's a nice pleasant surprise over Talakai in Team List Tuesday part two, maybe you just, yeah, then you can be flexible and roll with Iro and chuck someone else in, upgrade there. Like, maybe that's probably the prudent way to go about it.
Yeah, look, possibly so. I think the choke points, you know, in what you're talking about, it's probably fullback and 5/8 that you need to do that meticulous planning on. I think someone like a Hughes, if he's in the 17, you probably start, you know, probably got him in the 25. I don't think he needs to start for value. We talked about Fifita earlier, is probably in the same position as well. So, you know, there are some that you can kind of pencil in, but I think, again, we talked about who the hell knows what's going on with Canberra, not only the outside backs, but the lock position. At the moment, I'm just looking at, I'm surprised I've got Jed Cartwright just sitting as my sixth second row forward. So obviously someone like him at 238 needs to be changed out for someone. So yeah, there's going to be some slim pickings there. I think it might be worth it doing that extra bit of planning for that first week because again, as you know, it's so important to get that good start.
I'm almost wondering, you know, is it worth, and look, I'm just going to throw the name out there. Let's say Jesse Arthurs is on that right wing at 376K, round zero. Obviously, you know, you've seen him there. Is that someone that you're going to throw into one of your seven center wing spots just because you've got that certainty to lock that price tag in and potentially have someone's playable if, again, rolling with that narrative that it's going to be high scoring?
Look, Wilf, I think if we're at the stage where we're talking about Jesse Arthur's viability as a super coach player, that might be all we've got for this week. And tune in for next week where, you know, Wilf will come down on whatever he's been sniffing and we can have some more moderate super coach opinions.
Fair call. All right. Like I said, this whole round zero, you know, two-part team list, it's been doing my head in. So I think you're probably right there.
Jesse Arthur's.
Hey man, we all started with Charlie Staines one year, right?
Yes, we did. Oh God. Well, but see, and that's interesting because there probably isn't the consensus Charlie Staines, Josh Schuster. You know, everyone has to start the rookie price gun in waiting kind of guy this year because I was already willing to kind of not start with whoever the fashionable pick was, because I think the last 3 or 4 years, in fact, the absolute must-own, you're not serious about Supercoach if you don't start with this guy, has actually turned out to be a dud.
Yeah, right now that seems like, just again looking at the highest rostered players, Ethan Strange 43.4%, KO Weeks 37.1%, Chevy Stewart 35.1%, Euro 34%, Ben Trbojevic 33.9%, and then you've got your Bronson Cherries 33.6%, Taylor May, 33.2%, and Sam Hughes, 32.5%. And good old Viliami Fifita, 29.7%. Yeah. I better put him in my team.
I feel like, you know, the Charlie Staines and Schusters were kind of 60-plus percent in week one, so I don't think there's that obvious guy that you want to go against the grain on. But yeah, that's probably a good thing, frankly, because, you know, I think if something – you know, what's been proven in recent years, if there's a player like that that's too good to be true, inevitably he is, right?
Yeah, it's a fair point. And I guess of the non-cheapies, Nathan Cleary, 41.9%, Sean Lane, 37.4%, Payne Haas, 36.6%, and then it goes down to Nico Hines, 33.3%, and Ponga, 32.1%. It's quite an interesting list of names there.
That'll sharpen up, I think. You know, everyone breaks their team down as soon as the first team list drop. So, you know, I think those numbers will be all over the shop as people try and, you know, scramble to fit to the budget. But some very interesting names there. And I think next week when we know that little bit more information, there's probably going to be injuries. There's, you know, might even be a suspension or two to inform, you know, the direction that we're going. Some of those names will drop off the list, but I mean, it's the beauty of rugby league, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, tied to that is obviously that is the beauty of Supercoach as well. And that's why we obsess and deliberate and just, you know, talk ourselves in circles for this beautiful game.
Yeah, that's the reason why we bring up Jesse Arthurs in minute 70 of a podcast or however long we've been going on for. So, you know, you're welcome, you degenerates listening in preseason.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back soon with more hot takes such as Jesse Arthurs being a great option for round one team.
He's a good-looking man. See you, everyone.
Oh, he's a sicko.